my spooky friends. I'm John, your host, and welcome to another episode of Dairyland Frights, the paranormal podcast that covers everything spooky, creepy, and mysterious in the Midwest. And again, I am blessed by another great spooky guest, my spooky friend, Chelsea from Station 59 Podcast. All right, so thank you so much. You are one of my first guests. I have missed you too.
Thank you so much for having me back on.
Chelsea and I are from the Midwest, and I all love having my Midwesterns on because they are the greatest. We have some great stories. So Chelsea, tell me about what you've been working on. Any spooky things?
Yes, I actually have a couple spooky things coming up here. So I've obviously been working on the podcast. I'm putting out my episodes on YouTube now, so that's exciting. But then next month, I am booked for an investigation at Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, which I went to last year, and I'm staying the whole night this time. So I'm very excited.
Nice.
And then over the summer, I am actually going to help host a public event at Missouri State Penitentiary.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Acres of Blood. I did a thing on that, a little episode on that. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Well, that sounds awesome. And again, my spooky friends, please check out Chelsea's podcast, the Station 59 podcast, and check out all her events. You're going to love it. Chelsea is great. So she's awesome. And one of these days, that's where all the planes went and everything crashed. And, you know, it's like really crazy, right?
I always thought as a child that the Bermuda Triangle was going to be more of an issue in my life.
Oh, really? What's
that? I just remember reading books about it and hearing about it on TV. And I was like, oh, my God, like, that's how I'm going to go out. I'm going to disappear in the Bermuda Triangle.
There's Chelsea and her. I just learned to fly. I'm going over the triangle. La, la, la. Oh, Chelsea, no.
Driving a boat and just vanish into thin air.
Driving a boat. La, 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 la. Look at my new boat, everybody. Woo. Oh, no. Great. You know, the funny thing about the Bermuda Triangle, is you don't hear about it much anymore, right?
Yeah.
Right?
We just start avoiding it?
I don't know. I think it's sitting there getting ready for something. Chelsea. I hate to get the new boat.
I'm never going on a cruise.
why is this cruise going to the Bermuda Triangle? Hello? What are we doing? The funny thing is about that is I was reading some information, and really, planes get lost from time to time. You know, there's some famous case, I think in Malaysia or whatever, from years ago. But what pilots have said, it's virtually impossible now to lose a plane because satellites, other redundancies, it's just super, super, super hard. Even a smaller plane or a boat has some type of GPS in it.
For sure.
So it would be like pretty hard to do that. And, and I'm like, well, we'll figure it out. Chelsea and I will figure out a way to get along. Anyway, so one of the things I thought was really interesting, not only that Chelsea thinks she's going to get lost in the Bermuda Triangle. By the way, what do you think is down there? Do you think you're going to get UFOs, or is it Hollow Earth, or what do you think it is?
I've always just assumed that there's like a massive whirlpool and it just sucks everything into it.
Yeah. That's it?
Well, there's got to be something at the bottom of the whirlpool that's causing it, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like to look at it like there's a bunch of Amazon women down there and they're king. And I become king. Okay, that's a whole different thing. A different podcast. Whoops. Sorry about that, folks. Anyway, no, I don't know what there really is. You know what I'm saying? Because the things that I heard, and you probably heard when you were younger, UFOs, right? UFO grabbed the ship. Maybe you went to there was a vortex and you wound up in, I don't know, on a different planet. Or there's just, it's gone.
And yeah.
Nobody has a clue where it is, right? Nobody has any idea. And the funny thing was, Chelsea, I was looking around at that and I was like, I wonder if there's anything in the Midwest like this, right? If there's something weird. And here it is, our little teaser before we begin the show, is the Lake Michigan Triangle, or simply Michigan Triangle, is an area of Lake Michigan where several disappearances, shipwrecks, there you go, plane crashes have occurred under unexplained circumstances.
Ooh. So,
I know. have you? I didn't hear about this before. I was just poking around, looking around, trying to find something, a good topic for us. How about you, Chelsea? Have you heard about that? No,
I have not. I know that the Great Lakes have a lot of weird stuff and some legends around them, but I have not heard of the Triangle before.
Yeah, right? Neither have I. Now, I've been up to Door County. And if you go up to Door County, there's a part of it, which I love the name. It's called Death's Door. And you go through it. And if you ever get a chance, please go up there. It's absolutely gorgeous. Also, they have a thing about witches. It's a lot of crazy paranormal stuff up there. And I know a gentleman who I interviewed on the show. His name is Earl. He's very nice. If you ever go up there, I would tell you you're coming and see if you can get a discount. Go on there a little bit. Anything to help my friends out? Am I still giving rent there? So, you know, again, I just never thought about that because in Door County, the reason they call it Death's Door is because it was really, really hard to navigate. And there's rocks and there's fallen trees and everything. So back in the 1800s, early 1900s, where you had a wooden ship and there's a storm and you're trying to go through this, it's virtually impossible to get through, not without hitting a rock. So there's many, many shipwrecks in that area that if you're a scuba diver, I don't know, are you a scuba diver at all, Chelsea?
I am not. I'm not even a good swimmer.
I sink like a rock. Yeah, we're both, you know, wait a minute. I'm not going on that boat with you because we'll both drown because we'll be the worst.
One of us has to know how to swim if we're still going on this adventure.
All right, Chelsea, we need to take swimming lessons. Note to self, take swimming lessons before I go on a boat with Chelsea. So anyway, there's this one in Door County where this preserved shipwreck. So you can actually go on a boat tour and you can hover right over it. And it's clear as day in the water from the, I think, 1800s.
That's crazy.
Well preserved. You just see it right there. It's like you can almost touch it, which you cannot touch it because then somebody will yell at you. but if you go swimming, you go scuba diving, you can go and you can take a look at it. And it's amazing. You see pictures of it on the internet. And you're like, whoa, that's crazy how long it's in there. So let's start first with the history of the Lake Michigan Triangle. So unidentified flying objects, UFOs, or they're called UAPs now. I'm sorry.
What does UAP stand for?
Unidentified aerial phenomena.
Okay.
The military gets involved and screws everything up. Go away. Anyway, there's also USOs, and unidentified submerged objects have also allegedly been spotted in the area. Now, this is how big it is, okay? The triangle. The triangle stretches from Londonton to Manitowoc. So if you look at it as a map, it's kind of big. You know, compared to the Bermuda Triangle, it's kind of small. It's just a certain area in the Caribbean or Caribbean, however you want to say it. But it goes down to Benton Harbor and back to Ludington. The first, I was talking to Chelsea offline. I have some friends who are tarot readers. Maybe we'll do a live tarot reading around October or something when it comes a little spooky or something like that. Who knows, right?
It'd be so fun.
Yeah. I'm sure it would give us good news. Like there's no shadow man lurking in the corner. we're not, demons are infested us. And we're like, great. That's why I'm having a bad day. So again, check Chelsea out. All her things that she's been doing, Station 59, and all the things coming up. So let's get right into our topic, Chelsea.
All right.
Because this is really interesting to me, because when you think of a triangle and mysteriousness and all that, you know, stuff, you think of what? The Bermuda Triangle, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the famous one. Major, let's get right into it, unexplained event was the disappearance of a French sailing ship, Le Griffon, and her crew in the 17th century, starting with the sinking of Thomas Hume in 1891. Shipwrecks and disappearances have become more frequent. And believe it or not, the first reported UFO sighting was in 1913.
Wow.
Okay. Now think about that for a second. That's crazy. Because, you know, it's early 1900s. It's like, you think people would not remember that or recall this UFO, but yeah, they saw a UFO. People have said that. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit. So, the frequency of disappearances, shipwrecks, and plane crashes within the Great Lakes was first mentioned in the Jay Gurley's 1977 book, The Great Lakes Triangle. Although the exact origin of the Michigan Triangle wasn't known at that time, later authors focused on occurrences in the Lake Michigan, particularly those within the bounds of the triangle. So, at first, they didn't know. And now that we have all GPS and we have all this stuff, we can be like, there it is, right there.
Wild.
Yeah. And it's really interesting to me, too, that just a certain part, you know what I mean? Because if you said you were to Lake Michigan, correct, and went to all the shipwrecks, what did you find most interesting when you were kind of going to museums and everything?
I think it was just like how well preserved a lot of the shipwrecks are and how there's still things in them that they're able to bring up and they're untouched, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And you know why that is because there's no salt water. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's perfect conditions for preserving a shipwreck. So that is awesome. Yeah. And then they also, I remember too, I was at a museum 2 years ago, and I remember they had a simulation at that time, if they still do, where you could take a tanker out of Lake Michigan and you could steer it. It was just like a 3D simulation. And it was really harder than you think, because you sit up there, you just turn the wheel just a little bit, you're like right into the side of the canal or whatever.
Oh, man. So I'd be terrible at it.
I'd be like a pinball machine. Fired. Oh, well. But some experts have debated about the shape and range of the triangle, which you're always going to have. One argued that the area is not a triangle, but a rectangle, which doesn't come off the tongue, right, Chelsea? It's the make Lake Michigan rectangle.
not the same ring to it.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same marketing value. I'm in marketing, so I'll be a Lake Michigan rectangle. Can we do a triangle or something, you know?
Can we just rework this a little bit?
Just like cut out this and put this over here. You know? Perfect. Or they said an oblong shape. But again, it doesn't work. Lake Michigan oblong shape? I don't know. Right?
Not quite as mysterious, I'd say.
Yeah, it's not quite as mysterious. So that encompasses most of all that they say Lake Michigan. So let's get in there. So, in other words, there's a debate where it is and where, but they kind of know where it is, and it's a triangle. But I just think how people, they're like, well, maybe it's not a triangle. I find that funny. So, Le Griffon was one of the earliest known incidents in the Lake Michigan Triangle. And the disappearance of the Le Griffon and her crew on September 18, 1679.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? This is crazy. So Le Griffon dark by the Le Grand Blale, it's present day Green Bay, loaded up 12,000 pounds of furs. That's a lot of furs. Holy crap. Wow. Okay. And set sail for Lake Erie. However, the vessel never arrived at her destination, and no confirmed remnants of the ship have ever been located. Some presume that the Le Griffon perished in a storm. Others have theorized that the Ottawas or Potawatomis boarded her, murdered her crew, and then set her ablaze. Rene Robert Chevalier, Z de La Salle, the ship's builder, was convinced that I take French. This is horrible. I can get emails from people who speak French. What are you doing? Was convinced that the pilot and crew sunk the ship and made off with the fur. Okay, there's no substantial evidence for any of these theories. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this for a second. How would you sink a ship and take 12,000, what was it, pounds of furs? How, explain that to me, Chelsea.
If you have 12,000 friends, and you give them each a pound, and then you make it your own city, and you're there. You go.
I love it. Why didn't I think of that? I get 12,000 friends. Oh, all right. Well, fine.
It'll only take a couple years. It's fine.
All right. See, this is my whole thing. Get the fur, you know, get the friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we got perfect. Yeah, it could have been Indians. That would happen a lot, but it would mostly happen in, well, Native Americans would, you know, unfortunately, when they're starving and all the things we stole as bad white people, thank you very much, from them, which belonged to them. Now I feel bad. Usually would do it on like river flatboat. So usually you would hear a lot of stories where flatboat would be coming down and then Native Americans would attack the boats and take the furs so they wouldn't starve or, you know, freeze to death in winter. So, okay. that's my two cents on that. That's a whole nother podcast too. So there, another podcast I can do. So anything else on this before we move on to the next ship? 12,000 friends is really good.
Oh, thank you so much. I you know, I'm full of ideas. Not all of them are good, but they're ideas.
We'll take it. All right. Awesome. So let's move on to the next one. The Thomas Hume. I don't know how to pronounce this. Thank goodness. May 21st, 1891, the schooners Thomas Hume and Rose Simmons set off from the port after dropping a shipment lumber to Chicago. Both ships were supposed to return to the Hackley Hume Lumber Mill in Muskegon, this is in Wisconsin, but after encountering a squall, the crew of the Rose Simmons returned to Chicago until the weather improved. However, Thomas Hume continued on and disappeared along with six sailors on board. Hackley Hume sent a vessel to search for the schooner and offered a $300 reward. By the way, in the 1800s, that's a lot of money.
Right? Yes.
But had no success in finding the ship. Theories arose as to what happened to the Thomas Hume, the most widely accepted that she sank. Some storm caused the Rose Simmons to retreat to Chicago. Others, included Charles Hackley, believed that another boat collided with and sunk the schooner. So, in other words, it sunk, you know, everything like that. And the weird thing about this is everything in the early, well, from the 1600s to 1800s had to go, if it was bigger than a bread box, like I'm dating myself here, had to go on a ship. So, lumber, furs, cotton, you name it, had to go on a ship because the railways at that time weren't that great.
Okay? Yeah.
And we definitely didn't have cars and we definitely didn't have, well, anything to transport it to where we needed to go. Could you imagine that, Chelsea? How hard life would be? You're just like, I just need some supplies and you got to wait maybe a month?
Yeah. My boyfriend and I were just talking the other day about like the wagon trail going out west. I'm like, we were thinking just how would you get through the mountains? Like, how did people pull that off with a wagon?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely. And if you ever get a chance, there's some authors out there and there used to be a show on PBS where they would take a family, just a normal family in today's world, and then put them in the 1800s.
Oh my God.
Just to make breakfast took like an hour.
Yeah, I believe it.
You had to go out, get the eggs from the, you know, wherever. I don't know. Maybe you have a farm, maybe you don't, but you still got to go get eggs. Then you got to figure out where the bacon was. By the way, you don't have a fridge. You open the fridge and microwave anything, you know, It was just insanity. I mean, just like women your age would have to wear a dress and you'd have to wear a corset. You'd have to make sure your hair is good. And, you know, it isn't like I throw on a sweat top and some sweatpants. And
right.
My boyfriend are going to go out and grab a burger or whatever. It doesn't work.
It's called Living History Farms. And it's like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like an 1800s village that you can go visit. Right. And they have reenactments and all that. And I took a field trip there in elementary school, and we had to go to the schoolhouse in full period dress, and we had to live a school day in the 1800s.
Oh, how'd that go?
It left an impression on me, for sure. I liked my dress, at least.
Oh, there you go. I'm out of it. I know. So, in other words, like I said, this is not easy. And then if the ship sinks, you're SOL. You know?
Right.
What are you going to do? You're like, well, okay. And I know it's so funny. My kids will bitch about when, I haven't got my package yet from Amazon. It's been like 2 days. And I always go, do you know what life used to be like, kids? Shut up, Dad. Okay, I'll just go over here. Yeah, so forget it. And again, mail, not get anything. So like, if you send someone like, oh my God, I think my husband died in World War I or something. It isn't like someone calls you on your cell phone or texts you, I'm sorry, Chelsea, he's dead. You know, it's like a month later, you find out, oh, he's still alive. Oh shit, I just got remarried. Ah, damn it. I'm here to do.
Oops. Awkward.
Awkward. This is Bill. Bill Stan. Yeah. I'm glad we're not into that stuff. So one of the things I think is really funny, too, is that nobody knows what happened. So again, we still have no idea. No one's found these ships to this day. So now this one is a little more interesting to me because this one happened in 2006.
Oh.
AT&T recovery employee discovered the sunken ship, he says. This is really interesting. When searching for a lost United States Navy aircraft. So there was like all these people looking for this aircraft, and they did find a ship. And guess what they found? The Thomas Hume one.
No way.
The other ship. I don't know if they've ever found this, but they did find it when they were looking for another aircraft that had crashed there. So, and they said, this is crazy, that again, it was in perfect condition and had succumbed to a storm and that it was intact. But they think, too, that maybe it was rammed into by another vessel.
Mm. So
there were pirates on Lake Michigan. So, yes, there were pirates. Everyone thinks, you know, Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean. Right. Yeah, look at that. No, there were pirates in Lake Michigan who tried to take over a ship. So, in other words, they were looking, the Navy in 2006 was looking, and they found, whoops, hey, look what we found. We found the Thomas Hume. And, yeah, the fur wasn't there, by the way. So.
Dang it.
1,000 pounds of fur. Anyway, so the next one is the Rosabella in 1863. The Rosabella was a two-masted schooner who used to transport materials to the House of David in Benton Harbor. I don't know what that is. Between 1875 and 1926, she was found capsized twice. I don't know how you can do that. And again, with no signs of her crew. Okay.
Hmm.
So again, there's kind of a theme here, with the exception they did find the Thomas Hume, which, not to confuse people, you know, a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, I thought they didn't find it. They did find it, but they, you know, it was under like being rammed and stuff like that. So there was something that went on with that ship, but most ships they do not find, or nor do they find that there's been mysterious circumstances with it. So I didn't know this, that they started this early, but in 1875, a car ferry crossing the lake discovered, why would you put that on a car ferry? You're crossing Lake Michigan? I like to see where they're crossing, right? 1875. Okay. All right. I'll go with it. The schooner floating upside down So they found this car ferry that was floating upside down. The 10-man crew who departed the boat were never found. Probably drowned. The ship was then turned over and returned to the port of Milwaukee, where she remained in service. So in other words, there was a car ferry, which, okay, it flipped over. The crew, 10-man crew, was never found, but they flipped it back over, and it remained in service for quite a while. Okay.
They're like, we'll just find a new crew. It's fine.
Yeah. By the way, 10 people died on this thing. So let's go, guys. Come on. What are we doing?
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So I didn't know 1875. Okay. I got to go back and look at my history. Would you go on a car ferry crossing Lake Michigan, Chelsea?
I don't think I'd go on anything crossing Lake Michigan, to be so honest. I went out just a little bit on Lake Michigan over the summer, and there was a big 1800s replica sailing ship. And I was watching that thing just toss back and forth, and I was like,
nope.
No, not for me.
Zip, gone, peace out.
Bye.
Yeah, when I was a little, Chelsea and I were talking about this offline. When I was about 14, I went on a fishing trip with my father and my good buddy, and we went out to Lake Michigan, and we were in like the middle of it where I couldn't see land. And I was freaking out, you know, for quite a while until I got my bearings. But, you know, if any of you people know what that is, dairylandfrights@gmail.com, send me something. Say, yeah, that's happened to me too. No thanks. And I saw this tank. I was telling Chelsea, I saw this tanker. It's like a city just going past us. And I'm like, damn, you know, that thing's huge. Like, yeah, no, I am not doing that. So in October of 1921, one of the things here was, you know, that ferry I was talking about? Okay. For some reason, they decided that they're going to depart again, but this time they're going to put a load of potatoes on it and lumber. Now, I don't know what you're going with this. However, the ship's captain, Ed Johnson, I love that name, he refused to board it. He was like, so remember they went to the port of Milwaukee, and they're like, oh, let's not use it for cars. Maybe that wasn't the smartest thing. Let's use it for a bunch of lumber and potatoes and send it across Lake Michigan. And then Ed Johnson, he was, like I said, he's captain. He said, nope, I'm not going on it. Because if you know anything about nautical or people who have been on ships or at lighthouses or something, a lot of nautical people are very superstitious.
Yeah.
You know, Chelsea, have you ever done any stories on that? Maybe on a haunted lighthouse or a haunted ship, and people are just like, you know?
I have not yet. I've been to a few lighthouses that had some vibes to them, but I haven't done any stories about that yet.
So my question would be, would you ever be one, I don't know, a lighthouse conductor? I don't know, what do you call it? It goes to a lighthouse. I have no idea. Would you ever be one of those people? Just be out at a lighthouse for like a year by yourself?
If I was close enough to civilization, because I don't like being in the middle of nowhere. It creeps me out.
Why does it creep you out?
This is so morbid. I watched so much true crime as a child. I just feel like I need to be around a place where people can hear me scream in worst case scenario.
That's pretty morbid. Okay. All right. And okay. All right. There we go. Chelsea just told us a very personal thing, and we'll go with that. Okay. You know what? Now I got to do pranks on you. And put on like Michael Myers the Halloween mask and be like, yeah.
I'll cry. I'll curl up in a ball and cry.
Well, now I feel bad. I just said that.
That's good. Now I'm gonna give it right back to you.
Well, thanks a lot. I feel bad. Okay. Ed won't go on the ship. Chelsea's screaming her head off. It's his son later stated that Johnson, oh boy, had a premonition that a disaster was about to occur. Again, like these guys are really superstitious. You can read all these great tales. I, you know, I would like to do like one on the Edmund Fitzgerald, famous. You know, it's a Gordon Lightfoot song. If you're into old, good old rock and roll kind of folksy music, nobody really does understand that either. But I remember in there, I would like to do an episode on it that the crew was like, something's not right. And they've crossed. Yeah, this is a huge tanker.
Mm-hmm.
And they crossed numerous times. But they knew that day, like, something's not right. But the crew went aboard and they kept, they went and they haven't found it. I don't think they found it. I'll have to look it up. Maybe they have, but
I can't remember.
Do you remember anything if they found the Edmund Fitzgerald?
I don't remember if they found it or not, but I do know a really interesting tidbit. Because when I was doing my research for my episode on Lake Superior, it kind of touched on that. And almost to the day, almost every single year, there's been a storm on the anniversary of the sinking.
Wow.
Like a massive, massive storm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. That's cool. Wonder why that would be.
Wow. There's like something about wind patterns or whatever, but I think it's ghosts.
Sure. Paranormal. Yeah, they're coming back. I get it at a ship. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So the crew, I can see this. The crew could not convince Johnson to board this ship and said, so they left without him. Okay. Hey, bye, Captain. You know what you're doing. We have no clue. See ya. Like, what? So they left. And days later, oh boy, here we go. The ship was found capsized again.
Oh, geez.
No signs of her crew. Oh boy. They didn't say how many, but I'm guessing 10 again. So there's like 20 guys or gals or whoever was on that ship are gone.
Jeez.
And the captain's like, don't go aboard. I feel, I'm doing whatever. there's my voice of, it's a creepy captain. Don't go aboard. And they went, okay, see ya. We're doing it anyway. We need the money. Goodbye. Okay. Now, one of the things they found was to the stern, when they found the ship again, so they did find it again, it capsized. The stern was missing.
Hmm.
And so it's kind of like if your steering wheel in your car is missing, basically. It's like, indicating that there was a collision, but no ship reported having an accident.
Interesting.
The United States Coast Guard, which dragged the ship back into Racine Harbor, later determined there was no collision. Right? Interesting. So what you were just saying about the Edmund Fitzgerald and the storm, why is this happening to this ship? Right? Like, same thing basically happened. It, capsized or, I don't know. Any theories? I love the era.
I think the ship in a past life was not a good ship. He's his reincarnation now. He's just going to struggle.
Yeah, exactly. The ship did some bad juju on that ship. Okay.
Exactly. He like bullied other ships in his last life. And so they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Capsize for you. Yeah. That's all you get.
You're going to capsize. That's perfect. I love it. First of all, get 12,000 friends with the first bad ship. Man, we got a lot of stuff going on. So the next one is, this was George R. Donner. Oh, jeez. It just occurred to me, the Donner Party.
Yeah.
Whoops. How you like to be like, I'm captain of a ship that's, but you're Donner? Yeah, I'm not going on yet. No, thank you. I'm good. Thank you. George R. Donner was the captain of the O.M. McFarland, a coal freighter. On April 28th, 1937, Donner's 58th birthday, the ship picked up 9,800 tons of coal. Holy crap, coal.
That's so a lot. Much.
In Erie, Pennsylvania. They just keep just loading these shit. Just put the crap on there. I think it's too heavy. Shut up. We need to get this over here.
No wonder we're sinking all the time.
No wonder we're sinking all the time. Guys, stop with the 12,000 pounds of fur, the damn tons of coal. That's a lot of damn coal. Holy crap.
It's a lot.
And then they traveled west through the lakes, bound for Port Washington, Wisconsin. The captain had spent hours on the bridge directing the O.M. McFarland through the ice floes. Oh boy, here we go. When they reached Lake Michigan, Donner retired to his cabin, instructing the crew to alert him once the ship neared her destination. 3 hours later, when the vessel neared Port Washington, the second mate went to Donner's cabin, but found it had been locked from the inside.
Ooh.
Assuming Donner had gone to the galley for a snack, why would you assume that? Okay. He went to the galley, but to no avail. The crew then began an extensive search for their captain, but it was futile. They eventually broke down the door, which I would have done in the first place, to the cabin, but didn't find Donner. Donner.
What?
All right. This is kind of mean, but we get it. Donner was too large to fit through the two portholes in his room and showed no signs of depression or suicidal thought.
And it was his birthday.
It was his birthday. Come on. Local ports and ships searched for a Donner in the water, but no sign was ever found. Okay, Chelsea, I'm putting your hat, mystery true crime hat on. What happened to Donner?
Let's see. I think when he went to his room, he found one of those like Harry Potter style invisibility cloaks.
Yep. Yep.
But then he couldn't figure out how to get it off.
Right.
And behind, he just disappeared.
Yeah. I love it. That's perfect. That's what happened. He's like, it's my birthday. I'm sick of these damn ship. I'm going to go and get a drink. Oh, shit. They're going to see me. Aha. There we go. I like that. So here's the thing. I think what he did, and it's in all seriousness, and then tell me if I'm right or just a lunatic. Don't tell me if I'm a lunatic because I'm like, anyway, I think what he did, he snuck out, got a dinghy, which is those small boats, right? And just said, like, you know what? I'm 58 years old. I'm sick of this crap. I got a bunch of smelly dudes. I'm a bunch of damn coal. I just got to get out of here. I want to be a violinist in the Philharmonic, and that's what I'm going to do.
So that makes perfect sense.
See?
Yeah.
Right? Violin all the time, which they forgot to mention, by the way. He's playing his violin, and people are like, will you shut up? You're horrible. And he's like, oh, man, oh, that's hurtful. That's what I have no idea.
How could you, right?
I don't know.
That's wild. To disappear from a locked room.
Correct.
Is insane.
And even if he took so on tankers and stuff, yes, of course they have the different, not dinghies, but what am I thinking of? A rescue boat, or whatever you say. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he did take, but in the middle of Lake Michigan on a little boat trying to get somewhere.
And you said there's ice floes and stuff. Correct. Like that's not a good situation to be in.
Yeah. And it's, you know, even though it's a huge ship, it's not like he could be like hiding in the boiler room or something, you know, and just be like sneaking around. And then people are like, hey, where's the captain? Oh, I don't know, you know? And why would he lock it? Just, I don't know. I think that's really interesting. I think it's an interesting case that the only thing I could think of is just maybe he got sick of things and snuck out somehow and people didn't notice, or he had people with him working with him and saying like, hey, you know, I got to get out of here. Can you help me? But I can't even see that. It's, you know, your ice flows trying to.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Maybe he was mad that nobody told him happy birthday. And so he was like, well, screw you guys. I'm out of here.
Right. Where's my cake? No one got
I thought this was my surprise party.
Thanks a lot, guy. You only turned 58 once. Whatever. I don't know. It's just weird. So this is our first airplane one.
Okay. Flight
2501 Northwest Orient Airlines on the evening of January 23rd, 1950. Northwest Orient Airlines, flight 2551. Carrying 55 passengers and 3 crew from LaGuardia Airport, New York City, they were going to Minneapolis. Although a pre-flight review of the weather revealed thunderstorms and possible squalls, and a squall, if you guys want to know, is basically like a really bad wind and rain, you know, and you get caught in that in Lake Michigan, I would be peeing my pants and probably something else and being like, God, just get me through this, right? It's nasty. Along with the route of the flight, it was not a great concern to the crew. Okay. They're like, we're over this. Don't worry about it. Boy, I don't know some of these people. Anyway, however, to avoid turbulence, Captain Robert Lind requested to descend to an altitude of 4,000 feet.
Wow, okay. That's
low.
That is very low.
Instead of his assigned 6,000 feet, which is still low. Okay. As the aircraft approached Cleveland, Ohio, I thought they were going to Minneapolis, but okay. Lynn repeated the same request, and it was approved that time. So, you know, he's like, I want to go low. After severe turbulence caused another plane to fall 500 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you like that? Well, I got stuck in an air pocket once, and I fell 100 feet in a plane. Yeah. And it's like being in an elevator, and the elevator goes out. And it's just, you just go, whew, like that.
I would lose it.
Yeah, people lost it. Yeah. I was like sleeping. I was like really tired, Chelsea. And I was just like sleeping. I had a long business trip. Sleeping. So I went, what? You just go, bang, out of your
throat. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're zero gravity. You're falling like that.
And so I'm terrified of flying. I do it all the time, but I'm so anxious the entire time. And just even turbulence. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, 500 feet. That's a long. So air traffic control instructed Lynn to descend to, okay, I don't know about these guys, 3,500 feet to avoid a collision with the other aircraft.
Okay? Oh my gosh.
To which Lynn obliged, good for him. Later, Lynn and his co-pilot decided to steer south in an attempt to avoid the storm activity. However, they inadvertently flew directly into a squall line at 11:13 p.m. The plane made its last radio transmission, requesting to descend to 2,500 feet. The request was likely made because the crew wanted to drop below the clouds and obtain more visual clarity. Mm-hmm. However, air traffic control did not grant them clearance because another plane was departing from Milwaukee at that time. So shortly afterwards, locals between Benton Harbor and South Haven reported hearing an aircraft flying low to the ground before witnessing a flash of light over the lake. Some witnesses reported hearing an explosion, although it was hard to differentiate the sound from thundercloud. By midnight, radio operatives realized that the plane was missing. The next day, the Coast Guard discovered an oil slick and partial debris approximately 18 miles northwest of Benton Harbor. In the following days, the search resulted in the discovery of human remains such as, we're getting gold territory here, so kiddies, if you're listening, please do not listen to this. And parents, if you have this on your in your SUV or your car and you have kids in the car, you might want to pause and give yourself a sec. So, so what human remains did they find? Ears, hands, bones, and a seat armrest and pieces of upholstery. A pair of child pants later identified those of 8-year-old passenger. Oh, Chester Schaefer. Oh, Chester.
Chester.
Were also found. Officials needed to temporarily, that's such a cute name, close certain beaches due to the amount of debris washing the shore. So you can imagine, you and your friend or whatever, walking along the dog or whatever you got, and be like, huh, that looks weird. I wonder what that is. And your dog comes back with a hand.
Oh my God.
Okay, I have dark humor, so there
you go. And just that, all I can think about is how horrific the impact had to be to make the pieces that small, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That hit hard.
Yeah.
However, searchers have never been able to find any sizable amount of the plane or its engine.
Hmm.
most of the debris found was no larger than a person's hand. Isn't that weird?
That's crazy.
That's weird. So look at your hand. You go, that's what they found, like debris this size? Weird. Okay. That means, bam, that thing hit really hard.
Ugh. Yeah.
Authorities assume the aircraft crashed into Lake Michigan. Duh. Evidence recovered suggests that the plane likely hit the water in a forward, downward, to the left, forward, downward, to the left, at a high velocity, left, to a high velocity, but the plane crash has never been determined where how it hit. Most commonly accepted explanation is that UFOs took it, they took all the people, they cut them in little pieces. No, I'm sorry, but, the most common accepted explanation that it was a result of bad weather conditions. Yeah, okay. I like my UFOs and they slice them up. The other theory is that the plane was struck by lightning. Oh boy. However, none of the debris, had covered had burn marks. All right. So before we get to the conspiracy stuff, what do you think, Chelsea? What do you think happened?
My actual first thought was aliens. When they said they saw the big flash, I'm like, that's them getting sucked up.
Absolutely. So you are right, because conspiracy theorists have suggested that the plane was taken by a UFO, citing that the two police officers in the area saw red lights hovering over the lake for 2 hours. The plane disappeared.
Ooh.
So there you go. Aliens. By the way, just really quick, I don't know if you've heard about this story about, again, this is go territory. Don't have the kiddies listen. Have you heard about, I think it is in Malaysia, on the beach, there have been feet, human feet, still in athletic footwear, like sneakers, washing upon the shore. You can look it up. And you can
see, I have not heard about that.
Go look that up. Human feet washing on the shore. Look that up. Google it. And you'll be like, what? And this has been like, there's like a lot. And I think people figured it out, but I'm not really sure. But they were just like, so you're walking down the beach and you're like, oh, hey, man, there's a sneaker. I'm going to pick it up. And there's a foot inside of it. And it had been lopped off. Like somebody just took an act.
They're just a foot concentrated serial killer.
Sure. So do not go to that lighthouse, Chelsea. Watch your feet. I'm sure you have nice feet.
They're all right, you know.
Yeah, they're all right. Don't put them out to the camera. We're going to get weird. You don't want to see mine. They're even more weird.
No free feet.
Yeah. Come on. That's extra people. It's on my Patreon, by the way. Anyway, here's the next story. Unless you had anything else to add, other than the plane crash, and it could be UFO. But
it's definitely aliens.
Definitely aliens.
Definitely.
So the next one, this is a little bit recent, I guess. Don Shaler and Don Rodriguez, on July 30th, 1998, Don Shaler flew a two-seat Arrow L-39 Albatross, a high-performance single-engine jet often used as a military trainer by the Eastern European country. Shaler, a veteran pilot, good to know, was planning on participating in his first air show for the National Cherry Festival in Traverse City, Michigan. Yes, there is a National Cherry Festival still going on in Traverse City, Michigan. If you like to go and you like cherries, it's all about cherries. Cherry pie, cherry jam, cherry jelly, whatever the hell. There you go. So something if you're looking to do for the weekend. In the passenger seat was a Don Rodriguez, a flight instructor at the Northwestern Michigan College since the 1970s. So these guys know what they're doing, right? We get that. He's a veteran pilot. He's been doing this for a long time. He's a flight instructor. Good old Don Rodriguez. At approximately 6 p.m., a Shaler radioed that he was 27 miles from the Cherry Capital Airport, and when he departed from where he departed from and was planning to return to the airport. Soon afterward, flight controllers noticed the jet vanished from the radar. They were unable to make contact with Shaler Coast Guard helicopters quickly began searching the area but found nothing. The following day, a Canadian cargo plane and a Blue Angels C-130 Fat Albert joined the search. I have no idea what that means. Fat Albert, if you're familiar with the cartoon with Bill Cosby. Yeah. Okay. Well, military and their weird name. Despite scouring miles of land and water, no clues were found. And the search ended on July 9th. Okay. All right. So the cause of disappearance was never determined. Michigan State believe the aircraft crashed into Lake Michigan, but are unsure what caused this to happen. The weather was calm, so there you go. Both experienced pilots, there you go. And the aircraft was considered to be simple and reliable. The plane was also equipped with parachutes and ejection seats. So that's kind of cool, right? So you're like, oh, shit, we're going down, Jack, right? Anyway, one witness reported hearing a plane flying overhead and then a loud firework-like sound. However, he never saw the plane.
That's weird.
That is weird. Now, before I get to what they're trying to look for, what do you think so far? UFOs, right?
Obviously.
Hey, UFO.
Or like spontaneous implosion.
That could be, right? I agree. Later that year, an underwater search was conducted using sonar technology. It uncovered a 30-foot long object that searchers believed to be the plane. The following year, divers confirmed the object was a rock formation. In 2008, another sonar search discovered a possible plane 450 feet below the surface. It was next to a boat that sank in the 1950s. However, a dive could not be completed to confirm the object was a plane, as the diver was not certified past 400 feet. So,
Could you not get another diver?
Yeah, can't you get another diver? Like, I'm only 400, dude. Oh, man. No, we got it.
We'll never know.
We will never know. Oh, well. Let's get a beer.
See, that's where the conspiracy theorists are going to come in, because they know what happened, you know, and they're going to let us believe that's the plane. And it's another rock formation.
We know who you are. Chelsea and I know where you live. We're coming. Yeah. All right. So let's get into some explanations, right?
Perfect.
What's going on? Okay. The first one is natural causes. Okay. The Lake Michigan Shipwreck Research Association claims the triangle is a myth, contending that the triangle has no more shipwrecks than the rest of the Great Lakes. It also stated that the number of shipwrecks within the Great Lakes can be attributed to high traffic over the lakes. Okay.
Said the same thing about that Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. I don't know, guys. That's not convincing. It's not like a weather balloon. We're on to you. Many of the shipwrecks and the ship disappearances in Lake Michigan have been blamed on wind waves. Due to the lake's elongated shape and position, its shores are parallel and unimpeded, allowing the formation of dangerous currents, including riptides, and longshore tides. Additionally, the north-south orientation, coupled with irregular wind patterns, allow waves to reach great height. Blah, 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 bling, bling, blah, blah. So it's basically them saying, yeah, man, it's really windy out there, and there's big waves. So that's why ships go down. That's it, pal. All right. Another common theory is for the disappearance is magnetic anomalies caused by a magnetic declination and magnetic deviation. Declination refers to the difference between true north and magnetic north, which differs depending on the location. On average, Lake Michigan deviates 4 to 5 degrees westward. So in other words, you have a compass out and you're like, okay, I'm going north. Wait a minute, that's not north. This is north. No, that's north. No. Because 45 degrees off, if you're like in a ship, can throw you off.
And yeah.
It's not as bad as if you were walking with, let's say you went with your family to Yellowstone and you're 45 degrees off of whatever you're looking for. Yeah, it's going to throw you off and it's going to suck, but you probably can figure it out. You know, you'd probably be like, okay, this doesn't seem right. Deviations are errors incurred in the compass by local magnetic field. For example, if you were to hold a compass near a magnetic object, the needle would point towards the object. UFOs. Although this would not be a problem in vehicles with other navigational equipment, it could cause confusion to inexperienced sailors and pilots. So I get it. You know, if your experience is like, woo, let's go out, have a party, grab a bunch of beers and go out. Yeah, you're screwed. But if you're going out with experienced people, they should be like, it's 45 degrees. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
45 degrees. I've been on this lake 50 million times. I'm telling you, right? So that doesn't explain the stories I've said with experienced people having issues. All right. So now let's get to what Chelsea and I think would happen. The paranormal. Right, here we go. Conspiracy theorists have blamed the triangle on a negative energy vortex. Thank you. Energy vortexes are the idea that certain locations emit sacred, powerful, and transformational energy. Although vortexes are typical, considered to be promote positivity and healing, it's claimed that vortexes with negative energy also exist. These locations are purportedly sources of danger and hostility. Ley lines, which I've talked about, I don't know if you've talked about that at all, Chelsea, are areas of interest of ancient structures and landmarks, often cited as causes of energy vortex. According to ley line maps, one runs down the middle of Lake Michigan. Others attribute the triangle's supposed vortex to a prehistoric structure under a Lake Michigan discovered by archaeologists in 2007. The site is often referred to as, wait for it, North American Stonehenge.
What?
You can look at this. It's on Google. It's super interesting. I'll put some up in my on my social sites and everything. It looks like Stonehenge. I mean, dead ringer.
Crazy.
Deep, and it's a dead ringer for Stonehenge. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
That's other insane.
And it was on an island, right? The Atlantis theory, you know, Atlantis sunk. Everybody knows that, right? It's fascinating. And, you know, you can, if you're a good diver and you can go below 400 feet, you can take a look at this. And people have said it's amazing. Just amazing. Huh. To see. Others believe the occurrences to be aliens. Thank you. UFO sightings, okay? And look, come on. We all know that's true. Give me a break. Men in Black, exactly. I'm right here. Men in Black, right here. Come knocking at my door. I don't care. I'm ready for it. Now, the author, which if you haven't, if you're in the paranormal and you haven't read this author, please do or see some of his movies. H.P. Lovecraft said, "We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far." So that's it. I love that. You know,
that was awesome.
I love that. I think it's really interesting because no one knows what's going on. No one's really sure. Yeah, I think it's to me, this is what I always ask my guests. I believe it's real. I believe there is a Lake Michigan triangle, and I do believe it's a combination of factors. Chelsea, what do you think? Yes or no?
I don't know for sure what it is, but there's something weird going on, and I think it does. I think it's probably a combination of both natural and supernatural.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally
agree. The natural being influenced by the supernatural.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I think it's something. Oh boy, nobody will ever really know what's going on. But there's so many strange disappearances that I'm not saying the paranormal is always the right explanation, right? But sometimes it's like, I just don't know, right?
Right.
So let's go with the mystery, right? And that's the great thing about paranormal is go about having that mystery and not knowing. You can't know everything, right?
Right.
It's good to be like, well, you know, this is really interesting. So, Chelsea, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I love you. You're great. It's been so much fun. I love your ideas. It's great ideas. I'm going to get 12,000 friends after this.
Perfect.
Hopefully you'll come with me and bring your boyfriend.
Of course.
And we will, your family too, I don't care. And we will take a ship across Lake Michigan with 12,000 furs and see what happens to us.
sign up for that.
Hey, well, you said you would. You promised me. I got my audience here, Liz. I just think that's great and everything. And I just, you know, I love this. I think, again, it shows the Midwest is so rich in history and paranormal and everything. Before we go, just tell people again about what you're doing this summer so they know, and some of the things coming up so they can go and visit you or take a look at it.
Perfect. Well, I've got a lot of paranormal investigations coming up soon, so I'm going to try to be posting about those over on my Instagram, which is Station 59 Podcast, I think. Yes. And I also am starting up my YouTube channel, which is at Chelsea DeAnn, and I'm going to be trying to post videos there. So, yeah.
And I will always share as much as I can with each other. You know, we have our little coven, so I will share some stuff. Chelsea always likes to share my stuff because I think it's really good for my audience to see. One thing I have to do is I have a Patreon now. I'm trying to get out there, trying to pimp it. That's the wrong word. Okay. Sorry, Chelsea. That was no offense. Yeah. So anyway, I'm trying to promote it. There we go. That's a better word. And get that out. So please go to my Patreon. The only way you're going to see Chelsea and me talking is on Patreon. So you can listen to our great voices. But if you want to see us live in action and see that Chelsea has some great pictures that she has up here, you're going to have to go to Patreon and you're going to have to check it out. It's only $3 to be a Periscani's. $3. Come on. That's not even a thing of coffee anymore. At least with me.
True. I'm
going to Starbucks and it's like $6 for a stupid whatever I'm getting. So anyway, thank you so much, Chelsea. I love to have you on again, and I will do everything I can to follow you and my spooky friends. You know, so again, like we end every my episodes is say hi to your ghost. Hello, ghost. Because you never know, right? There might be a ghost. And stay spooky. Thanks, Chelsea.
Yay, thank you. See ya.
Bye-bye.